ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट नंबर 9। भारतेपि वर्षे भगवान नर नारायणाख्य आकल्पांतम उपचित धर्म ज्ञान वैराग्य ऐश्वर्योपशम उपरामतोपलंभनम अनुग्रहायात्मवताम अनुकंपया तपो व्यक्तगतिश्चरति। ट्रांसलेशन इन पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांता स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Shukadeva Goswami continued, "The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are inconceivable. He has appeared in the form of Naranarayan in the land of Bharatvarsha at the place known as Badrika Ashram to favor his devotees by teaching them religion, knowledge, renunciation, spiritual power, sense control and freedom from false ego. He is advanced in the opulence of spiritual assets and he engages in executing austerity until the end of this millennium. This is the process of self-realization." Purport. People in India may visit the temple of Nar Narayan and Badrika Ashram just to learn how the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His incarnation as Nar Narayana engages in austerities to teach the people of the world how to achieve self-realization. It is impossible to realize oneself simply by absorbing oneself in speculation and material activities. One must be very serious about self-realization and the practice of austerity. Unfortunately, the people of this age of Kali do not even know the meaning of austerity. Under these circumstances, the Lord has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow upon the fallen souls the easiest method of self-realization, technically called Chetodarpana Marjanam, cleansing of the dirt from the core of one's heart. This method is extremely simple. Anyone can chant the glories Krishna Sankirtan, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this age, there are different forms of so-called advanced scientific knowledge, such as anthropology, Marxism, Freudianism, nationalism, and industrialism. But if we work very hard under their guidance, instead of adopting the process practiced by Nara Narayan, we shall waste our valuable human form of life. Thus we shall certainly be cheated and misled. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, I would like to take the blessings of senior Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada disciples and other guests. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is describing about austerity and how it is such an important principle for advancement in spiritual life. And today also we are celebrating the appearance of Lord Varaha. And it is significant that Lord Varahadev appeared to destroy the influence of Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyaksha means one whose vision is coated with gold. Hiranyaksha. That means one who sees gold everywhere. Whatever he sees, he is only considering how I can exploit this for my sense gratification. Jagat janamayam lubdham kamukam kamini mayam. Bhagavatam describes that when you see with vision of greed, you see everything as an object for one's own gratification. So therefore, as practicing devotees, This is a very important day because Hiranyaksha could not be destroyed by anyone else, but only by the appearance of Lord Varahadeva. Therefore, Daksha means expert. So although Daksha was very expert in performing all kinds of material activities, he was highly educated, highly skilled, and had the ability to control, manipulate, manage people according to will, but he was helpless when it came to managing his anarthas. So therefore the greatest managers in the world can manage various kinds of projects, wealth, resources, but to deal and manage and control one's anarthas from within is beyond the control of any soul by his own prowess, power, and other educational qualifications and skills. Expertise does not help. If expertise would have helped, Daksha would have been the most expert. But he was overwhelmed and overpowered by anger, krodha. And therefore he fell victim of that. So this is an evidence that we need help in dealing with anarthas. And one of the anarthas is greed. Greed means we see everything with a vision tainted with trying to enjoy. So therefore Hiranyaksha represents that. Seeing everything as an object of enjoyment, Hiranyaksha. Everywhere he was just seeing gold. Wherever he would see gold, he would want to exploit it, use it for his own gratification. And therefore, Lord Varahadeva appeared to destroy him. And hence, on this day, we pray to Lord Varahadeva to appear within our heart and destroy this anartha, the anartha of greed, the anartha by which we have this exploitative vision, the vision of sense enjoyment. So the background to this is very interesting as to what leads to the development of this kind of vision, because how was Hiranyaksha born? How did Hiranyaksha manifest? So it is interesting that Hiranyaksha manifested out of a mistake which was performed by practicing spiritualists. So therefore, one should not think that simply by practicing spiritual life, one is automatically guaranteed success. But one has to be very careful at every moment. And hence we see that it all began when Diti and Kashyap were together. So Kashyap was not like an ordinary sense gratifier. He was sincerely practicing spiritualists. He may not have been a complete devotee, but he was sincerely trying to control his mind and senses. So what I have done is, through this pastime till the appearance of Hiranyaksha, I have tried to analyze this pastime in a way where there are various dualities. How one is unfavorable to our spiritual life, certain quality which goes totally against our Krishna consciousness, and that which is favorable to Krishna consciousness. One is demoniac, the other is divine, as it is a battle between Hiranyaksha and Varahadeva. So this battle is going on within our heart at every moment, where the influence of Hiranyaksha is prominent, and we have to constantly plead and beg to Lord Varahadeva to appear and destroy the demoniac influence of Hiranyaksha moment to moment. So the first point in this is desire versus discrimination. So Diti had desire. She wanted to enjoy. The nature of desire is that once a desire comes up, then it immediately eclipses discrimination. So Diti did not consider what is correct, what is wrong, whether it is appropriate, inappropriate. And therefore, she had this overwhelming desire to enjoy at that moment, which was at the time of sunset and which is not appropriate. It is inappropriate. So similarly, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, we will be overwhelmed by desires. And if we succumb to the desires and do not discriminate, that will lead to error. That will lead to mistakes. And the nature of mistakes is such that we may have been doing something perfectly for a long time, but that doesn't provide protection when we commit the mistake. When a mistake is committed, one gets the reaction for that mistake also. So even if we have chanted Hare Krishna for 15 years, but then we commit a certain offense, there will be some reaction for that offense. So therefore one cannot think that because I have performed this for a long time, so automatically I can go on doing whatever I want and there is no need for using discrimination. So now, at this stage, Diti, she is approaching her husband, Kashyap Muni, and she is pleading with him that please, you must fulfill my desire because I have served you faithfully for such a long time. And because I have served you faithfully and all of my other sisters, they also have so many sons, I also desire a certain son at this stage. And you are the most magnanimous of all, please, you must reciprocate with my faithful service. So this is the second point, which is gratification versus determination. So the mind will come up with ideas that you have performed austerity for a long time and you have rendered service faithfully for a long time, and therefore it is all right for you to desire some enjoyment in return. You deserve this. And Diti is telling Kashyap that I have served you faithfully for a long time, so this is the time you must reciprocate and give me something in return. So determination means the ability to say no, even though the desire may be there and the overwhelming urge for sense gratification may be there. So here we see that Diti is trying to claim certain results for her service, but without using the proper discrimination. So Shukadeva, our Maitreya Rishi is speaking to Vidura, is saying, Ititam viramaricha kripanam bahubhashinim. So kripanam bahubhashinim. Bahubhashini means talkative. So Diti became very talkative. She started giving so many arguments. So when the mind becomes overwhelmed with desire to enjoy, then all kinds of justifications come forward. Therefore, why do we have the tendency to justify? Because any sincere sadhaka who's trying to control his senses and say no to sense enjoyment, when he wants to engage in sense enjoyment, he is overwhelmed by feeling of guilt. And therefore, to counteract the feeling of guilt, we need a proper philosophy. Therefore, every sense enjoyment act is accompanied by a philosophy, because only that counteracts the influence of guilt. Therefore, conditioned souls have great ability to create philosophies. And even while practicing Krishna consciousness, even though we know this is not correct, but still immediately there will be an accompanying philosophy by which we can convince ourselves and convince others in case we are questioned. Therefore, Diti had this desire, but she is accompanying this desire with proper philosophy and justification as to why you should do this for me. So therefore, when the desire for gratification is there, determination becomes very loose. And so the word used here is iti tam vira maricha. So Maitreya Rishi is telling Vidura, O vira, O hero. So as Maitreya Rishi is speaking this pastime to Vidura, he is predicting what will be going through Vidura's mind. Because Vidura is also a devotee. He is also a transcendentalist. And when one transcendentalist hears about problems faced by other transcendentalists or the kind of cheating propensity going on in other transcendentalist mind, so he may get agitated and disturbed and even lose hope that, oh my God, I should also not go through this. What will happen to me? So Maitreya Rishi is saying, Idi tam vira maricha. That means, you don't worry, you are a vira. You are a hero. That means you have full control over your mind and senses and your discrimination is working properly. Therefore, you will not be overwhelmed. You have given up the association of all the demoniac Kauravas and come here in seclusion and associating with a sadhu and hearing from me. Therefore, you are protected. Do not worry. So you are veer, you are hero. So real hero is one who can control his mind and senses and use proper discrimination. Whereas here, he is saying, Maricham kripanam bahuvashinim pratyah anunayam vacha pravriddha ananga kashmalam. So pravriddha means increasing. Ananga kashmala means the arrow of Cupid. The contaminating arrow of Cupid had already pierced the heart of Kashyap Muni. And therefore, he had lost his power. Power of determination. And therefore, Maitreya Rishi is telling Vidura, you are a hero. You have controlled your mind and senses, and therefore you have proper determination. So now, Kashyap Rishi is hearing all the various things which Diti is expressing to him and is getting affected by that. So the third aspect of this is attachment versus detachment. The third duality. Now Kashyap Rishi is a practicing transcendentalist. Now because he is in close association of someone who has an overwhelming desire to enjoy, even though he has a sincere desire, but still the influence of that association is extremely powerful. And therefore, he is getting affected. Therefore, here in text 21 it is described, Na vayam prabhavamatam tvam anugraham griheshwari. He is getting affected by that association and he starts glorifying Diti. And he actually says that you are the queen of the house and the kind of service you have provided can never be repaid by me. I am not able to act like you and I can never repay what you have done for me right now till the end of this life and even in next life because I am so overwhelmed by your service. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that these kind of words are definitely joke. It is not possible that he can be serious. But it is a proof and evidence that he has been influenced by the association of someone who is overwhelmed by the mode of passion and lusty desires. Therefore, although he is a practicing transcendentalist and is dedicated to a life of detachment, but when there is close association of someone who is affected, then attachment creeps in. So anytime one can be influenced by attachment. And then he speaks so many verses where he is glorifying Diti. But at the same time, he makes a very weak proposal that we should not have progeny now because it is an inauspicious time and Lord Shiva will become offended. But there is not much strength in his argument because he is already affected by lusty desires. So there is an overwhelming desire within him also to enjoy. At the same time, because of his training and culture, he knows this should not be done. But it is already too late. So therefore, because we have heard so many Srimad Bhagavatam classes and read Srila Prabhupada's books, So even when we are overwhelmed and have a desire to commit sin, we know it must not be done because of the culture and the training. But the influence of lust and other anarthas is so powerful that it overwhelms us. And the influence of the association we keep has the greatest effect. So now at this stage, Kashyap Rishi, he says that we should postpone this and we should not associate at this moment because it is not auspicious. But Diti is overwhelmed and she just goes ahead, and Kashyap Rishi also succumbs, and then they unite. And at this stage, we can see how Kashyap Rishi is affected. So Srila Prabhupada is giving at this stage the difference between devotion and impersonalism. That in a similar situation, Haridas Thakur and so many great devotees were challenged. But Haridas Thakur could refuse the proposals of Maya Devi personified because of his strong devotion. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that it seems that Kashyap Rishi was an impersonalist at this stage. And therefore, Prabhupada says, Kashyap Muni appears to be an impersonalist. Comparing his character to that of Haridas Thakur, as referred to above, it is clear that a devotee is stronger in sense control than an impersonalist. Therefore, Kashyap Rishi is influenced, and then he understands it is a great mistake. Now at this stage, Diti also becomes aware, because she is also in one sense very sincere. So when a devotee commits a mistake, he understands that he has committed a mistake, and this is a proof that he is actually sincere at heart. But because to err is human, one may become overwhelmed because of certain circumstances and conditionings. So this brings us to another duality, awareness versus ignorance. A non-devotee is totally ignorant of what is to be done, what is not to be done. And even if he commits some mistake, he doesn't know because he is absorbed in sense gratification. Whereas a sincere practicing devotee is aware what is right, what is wrong. But sometimes because of various conditionings he may succumb. So here, Diti is aware, and with her face held downwards, she approaches Kashyap Muni and says that, oh, I have committed a great offense to Lord Shiva. And because I am fearful of the wrath of Lord Shiva, I request you to plead with Lord Shiva to forgive me. Because you are a great soul, and therefore Lord Shiva will listen to you. And in fact, Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh, one who is easily pleased. So please, beg forgiveness on my behalf. So in this way, a devotee or a person who is practicing spirituality may commit an error, may commit a mistake. But the first step of rectification is there must be an awareness. There must be a feeling of guilt that yes, I have done something wrong. Only then, something can be corrected, something can be changed. So at this stage, Kashyap Muni, he explains what exactly was the cause of the problem. And here, he gives a comparison between inauspiciousness and auspiciousness. What is the cause of inauspiciousness and what creates auspiciousness? Another duality. So he describes in one verse, apratyagat atmanaste dosham mohurtikat uta mat nideshat charadrena devanam cha ati helanat. Oh my dear wife, Diti, what gives birth to inauspiciousness? So I may be practicing something very sincerely, but still, even though I may be in a spiritual organization, spiritual movement, practicing spirituality, performing spiritual activities, still, sometimes something inauspiciousness may come out. What is the cause of that? So there are four things which may create inauspiciousness. And this is Kashyapuni who is speaking. And both Kashyapuni and Diti were performing severe austerities and they were sincerely trying to practice spirituality. So even from people who are sincerely practicing spirituality, there can be something inauspicious which may come out. And what is the cause of that? He is describing. Certain mistakes we commit may create this inauspiciousness. So he speaks four types of mistakes. He says, first is impurity. He explains, apratyayat atmanaste. That, oh my dear wife Diti, your mind was impure. Your mind became filled with impurity, impure desires. And this is one of the most important causes for something inauspicious. Second, he says, is the timing was improper. So mind may be impure, but still within the entire realm of the Vedic literatures, there are certain ways and methods given by which we can purify desires. To have desires is not uncommon. But to purify those desires, there are certain vidhis, there are certain methods, certain activities which are recommended. But for that, there is certain timing. So that is also very important. So, improper timing is another cause of inauspiciousness. So eating is good, sleeping is good, mating is good, defending is good, if all of them are performed under proper regulation at the proper time. So there is a proper timing for everything. So eating is not bad, but while hearing, you can't eat. Sleeping is not bad, but when class is going on, that is not the time to sleep. Or when sadhana is going on, that is not the time to sleep. Similarly, for mating, there is a certain time, certain period, certain stage. So therefore, there is good and bad for everything. And even while practicing spirituality, if we mix the timings and do not follow the proper timings for the proper activities, it can create inauspiciousness even while loitering in a spiritual organization. So therefore, one must be very careful about this. And the third aspect is, he says, that you were impure, your timing was improper, and third thing was, you were impolite. And here, the word used is, mad nidesh aticharena. Mad nidesh aticharena means that you were impolite in not following my instruction. That I gave certain instructions, I made certain requests, but you did not follow it. Therefore, not to follow the instructions of superiors and authorities, even when they may plead. But still if we feel, no, what I am doing is correct, and we go ahead with it, not only we may land up in difficulty, the person whom we are forcing to give us sanction will also land up in difficulty. And then we may think it may be just a small thing, but the net result may be very terrible. So therefore, another important lesson to be learnt is that when an ordinary person makes a mistake, the effect of the mistake may be minimal. But if because of association of demoniac influences and desires, someone of the stature of Kashyap Muni commits a mistake, that kind of mistake creates influence and effect which affects practically the whole universe and all the demigods are affected. So the more one advances in stature in spiritual life, the greater is the responsibility of being properly determined and using one's discrimination. And any loss of discrimination on part of a person has an effect in future depending on the stature of that person. So if an ordinary person loses his discrimination, then it has a certain effect. But if a very highly advanced spiritual personality who is expected to have high degree of discrimination and good behavior and sense control, he loses that, then the net effect is very, very terrible. And hundreds and thousands of people are affected, as all of the whole universe was affected by this influence. So then, there's a third he's explaining about inauspiciousness. And the fourth thing is, you are impudent to the demigods. You are not only impolite to my instructions, but I told you that you must not disrespect Lord Shiva, who is one of the greatest demigods, Mahadev. And this impudence towards him has also cost you very dear. So therefore, Devanam cha ati helanat. So one must be respectful, one must be polite and follow the instructions. One must follow the proper timings of different activities. And one must always maintain purity in consciousness. Otherwise, the net influence can be devastating. So then, at this stage, after speaking all of this, he concludes by saying that Tada Vishveshwara Kruddho Bhagavat Loka Bhavana Hanishyati Avatarasau Yadadreen Shataparvadhrik. Because of all of this, you are going to have children, you are going to have sons who will kill poor, faultless living entities, torture women, and they will kill the great souls. So he is giving this kind of a prediction that you will have cruel sons. But then, very interesting point Prabhupada makes. So another duality is cruelty versus compassion. So we find that because of this mistake, the net effect would be that she would have sons who would be extremely cruel and merciless. But at the same time, Kashyap Muni is also adding that there is an element of compassion in this. And what is that? That these two sons will be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tada Vishveshwara Kruddho Bhagavan Loka Bhavana Hanishyati Avatar. They will be killed by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, it is described in the purport. The verse says, Yathadrin Shataparvadhrik. And Lord Krishna will appear and smash your sons just as Indra smashes the mountains with thunderbolts. So this analogy is very appropriate because when Indra smashes the mountains with thunderbolts, Indra doesn't have to descend himself. Indra is where he is, but the mountains are smashed through thunderbolts. That means, to kill your two sons, Krishna doesn't have to appear. Simply by manipulating material energy, he can kill any demon. But he descends and kills, means he is so compassionate, he is giving your two sons a chance to interact with him, and because of that, they will be liberated. Therefore, although your sons are so cruel, Krishna as Varaha will be so merciful that although he can stay in the spiritual world and still kill them, just as Indra stays above and smashes the mountains, but still, out of his causeless compassion, he will manifest, he will appear and kill your two sons and thus liberate them. Therefore, this is the compassion of the Supreme Lord. And at this stage, Diti immediately replies and she says, Vadam Bhagavata Sakshat Sunadobhara Bahuna आशास से पुत्रयोर मह्यम मा क्रुद्धात ब्राह्मणात प्रभो. शी सेज वदम भगवता साक्षात दैट माई सन विल बी किल्ड डायरेक्टली बाय कृष्णा इज वेरी गुड न्यूज. एंड शी सेज सुनाभा दौर बाहुना. सो सुनाभ मीन्स द सुदर्शन चक्र एंड उदार बाहुना मीन्स मैग्नानिमस आर्म. उदार बाहुना. So it appears to be a contradiction that someone in his arm is carrying a weapon and that weapon is used to kill you. So you don't call that arm magnanimous. But the Lord holding the Sudarshan in his arm, killing Hiranyaksha, is described here as Udara Bahuna. Krishna is so magnanimous that he carries weapon in his arm and kills the demons. That is magnanimity. That is actually a benediction. That is a boon. So Krishna killing a demon is a boon. But my dear husband Kashyap Muni, I am very much afraid of one curse. I am excited to hear this boon that my son will be killed by Varaha, will be killed by Krishna. But please make sure that he doesn't get the curse. And what is the curse? Asha se putrayor mahyam ma kruddhat brahmana prabho. I don't mind my son being killed by Krishna. That is a boon. But for my son to be cursed by a devotee, that is a cause of great fear. Because for that, there is no protection. So therefore, to be killed by the Supreme Lord is considered to be a benediction, but to incur the wrath of a devotee is considered to be a very great curse. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that there is absolutely no protection provided when a devotee becomes angry. When the Lord becomes angry, the person upon whom the anger is directed gets liberated. But when a devotee becomes angry, then there is no protection. And therefore, this is a very important principle. And Diti is expressing this fear. So therefore, we should know that offense means it is like vajralep. And sin means it is like dhulilep. Dhulilep means layer of dust. So when we commit a sin, so the influence of sin can be counteracted. Just like if there is dhuli or dust on the ground, you just blow air, whoo, or use a broomstick, then that dhuli or the dust can be removed. So when we commit sin, the influence of sin can be removed by performing various spiritual activities. But offense or apradh is like vajralep. It is like thunderbolt, a layer of thunderbolt. Layer of thunderbolt cannot be removed by any means. It is very difficult. Therefore, Diti is saying that my demoniac sons, if they can be delivered by Lord, then it is perfect. They can be killed by the Lord, great. But make sure that they are not cursed. I would rather prefer them their head being cut by Krishna Sudarshan Chakra. But they should not hear any negative sound vibration from devotees. Because any negative sound vibration coming from devotees' mouth is more powerful and has a more destructive effect than even Sudarshan Chakra. Therefore, offense is so deadly. And now, Kashyap Muni, when he hears all of this statement, he becomes pleased and he explains to Diti another interesting duality, repentance versus justification. So we may commit an offense, we may commit some mistake, we may perform something wrong, but then the tendency is to justify. So when we try to justify, there cannot be any correction. We will not receive sadhu's mercy. Therefore, one must have a feeling of sincere repentance. So when there is sincere repentance, there is power. But when there is justification, then that power is withdrawn, that blessings are withdrawn. So here in this verse, our Kashyap Muni says, Krita shokanutapena sadhya pratyavamarshanat bhagavati urumanat cha bhave mai api cha adarat. That, oh my dear wife, Diti, you have invoked the blessings of higher powers because you have displayed the following characteristics. First is lamentation. You have lamented for the mistake. You are lamenting sincerely. Second is you are repenting. Third is you are deliberating that, oh, why did I commit this mistake? What I did was not correct. So there is proper deliberation of the consequences. Fourthly, you have faith in the Supreme Lord. You have faith that if the Supreme Lord comes and kills your son, how they will be delivered. So you have that faith in Krishna. So you may have committed a mistake, but you have not become faithless. So there is still hope. To commit a mistake is not wrong, and it is not extraordinary. But in spite of committing that mistake, if we maintain that faith in Krishna, there is still hope. But once we lose the faith, there is no hope. And then the fifth is, there is adoration. You still have faith in me and Lord Shiva. You have not lost faith in Guru. You have not lost faith in the sadhus. You have not lost faith in superior personalities. And because of this, I give you the benediction that although your two sons will be demons, your grandson will be a great devotee. And so, Sri Prahlad Maharaj, he will be born, and he goes into a series of verses describing all the various characteristics of Prahlad. And in this way, he gives the benediction about Prahlad, and he says that Potrastava Shri Lalana Lalanam Drishtaspurat Kundala Manditananam. Pautrastava, your pautra, your grandson will be Shri Lalana Lalanam. He will be a great worshipper of Shri. That means he will be able to see the Lord and his consort and worship them. And this is very interesting, because his uncle, Prahlad's uncle, that means Hiranyakashipu's brother, Hiranyaksha, he was just plundering Mother Earth, who is Bhudevi, who is also an expansion of the goddess of fortune. So Hiranyaksha means his vision was, how can I simply plunder gold from Bhudevi? How can I strip her of all of her ornaments? So when Hiranyaksha, Prahlad's uncle, was seeing Bhudevi, the expansion of the goddess of fortune, his consciousness was that of exploitation. Pautrastava Shri Lalana Lalanam, he is saying here, Drishta Sphurat Kundala Manditananam. Whereas the vision of your grandson, Prahlad, will be Drishta Sphurat. He will become enthusiastic to worship the goddess of fortune and Krishna. So this is the difference in the vision of a devotee and a demon. That a devotee, drishta, his drishti, his vision is how to worship the Lord, how to bring the Lord and the consort together. And Hiranyaksha, who has only the vision of exploiting the gold, exploiting the resources, even in the goddess of fortune, he is simply seeing, how can I use her ornaments for my pleasure? How can I use these resources for my pleasure. So that is the quality of demon. Kritagya kono seveta duraradhyam asadubhi. In this section, this verse comes, which describes that ingratitude versus gratitude. Another duality. That a demon is ungrateful and a devotee is grateful. When a demon sees the resources of this planet, he is ungrateful for what the Lord has given and he is simply trying to exploit it. Whereas when a devotee sees all of these resources, he feels grateful to the Lord and wants to worship the Lord. He wants to glorify the Lord. Use it in his service. And in this way, both Prahlad and Hiranyaksha represent two opposite qualities of devotion and greed. Hiranyaksha having this vision of greed and our Prahlad having this vision of how to use everything in the Lord's service. So now when Hiranyaksha is appearing, now at this stage, so as soon as Diti becomes pregnant, everything becomes dark and all the demigods become fearful and they approach Lord Brahma and asking him, what is the matter? Why everything has become dark? So Brahmaji goes on describing the entire pastime of how the Kumaras come to the spiritual world, to the Vaikuntha, and the whole description of kingdom of God is there and the interaction with Jay and Vijay and how Jay and Vijay curse. They are cursed by the four Kumaras. So after having described this section, in the end, Brahmaji, he describes to the demigods that because of the curse of the four Kumaras, but more importantly, because it was a desire of the Lord that he wanted to appear into the material world and fight. So he is sending his two servants, Jay and Vijay, into this material world as demons. So therefore, these two personalities have appeared within Diti's womb. And so, Brahmaji, he gives the explanation that you have come to me seeking protection from all of this confusion and darkness which has spread all around, expecting that I will provide protection. But whose original plan is this? The desire to create demoniac influence is the desire of Krishna, of Vaikunthapati. For that, he has sent two of his intimate associates to create demoniac influence. So when Krishna wants to create demoniac influence within this world, Brahma says, even I cannot stop it. And 33 crore demigods put together cannot stop it. Because Krishna is Achyuta. His desire is infallible. So when Krishna wants to create utpat within this material world, he wants to create destruction within this material world, no power within this material world can stop it. So he has sent this Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha within Diti's womb. And therefore to counteract their influence, only he can come, appear and counteract it. Therefore, Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. So, Brahma is telling demigods, you relax, I also relax. We can't do anything about it. Let's watch the fun and wait for the Lord to appear as Varahadev, as Narsingadev, and then we will enjoy those pastimes. Till that time, we cannot do anything, we are powerless. So, Prabhupada writes the purport that because Jay and Vijay were ordered to become demons within this world, could any big, powerful demigod, king, politician, executive do anything to stop their influence? No. That is the power of order of Krishna. The order of Krishna cannot be counteracted. Even if through that order he wants to create demoniac influence, that cannot be counteracted. So what to speak of someone who is ordered to preach Krishna's glories? If Krishna empowers and orders someone that you go into the material world and preach and become my instrument, who can counteract his influence? Therefore, that is the most hope-giving thing in this entire pastime. That Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravan, Kumbhakaran, Dantavakra, Shishupal, same personalities. What was common? Krishna's order. You are part of my Leela. Just go and go on committing offense there. Go on committing demonic influence. Unlimitedly. Create so much of utpat. Shake the whole stage so much that audience is bewildered. And then I will appear dramatically. And then I will kill you. Till that time, no producer, director can stop you. Don't worry, they don't have that power. Only I have that power to take you off the stage. I am putting you on the stage. Let us see who pulls you down from that stage. So when Krishna decides to put someone on the stage and make someone a star, nobody can stop. So therefore, if Krishna wants to make someone villain, no one can stop. Similarly, if Krishna wants to make someone hero, who can stop? No one can stop. Therefore, Krishna says, I will personally come on the stage and then we will have the final interaction. Then the world will glorify that pastime forever. So Krishna appears as Varahadev, and as Varahadev, he destroys Hiranyaksha. Then only the curtain closes. And then Brahma and demigods clap. They cannot do anything apart from that when Krishna appears. So that is the significance of this pastime, of how Krishna creates situation within this world. He can create negative influence, he can create positive influence. All we have to do is become instrument. So even Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are very inspiring forces to see that if you just become a willing instrument in Lord's hand, what can be your power? So if negative forces can be so much empowered, what to speak of positive forces? So in this way we see that then our Varahadev appears very small, tiny, and as Gurijan Prabhu was explaining, from inauspicious place, that nostril, but then Lord is absolute, so it is all auspicious. And Bhakti Vikas Maharaj writes his realization that many great things have a small beginning. So Varahadev was very small in the beginning, then gradually grew and became huge. So many great projects, including ISKCON, had a small beginning, but then gradually it can grow very powerful, and then the influence can be overwhelming. Therefore, one has to have patience and not judge anything, any person, any project, any situation at its current situation, but must just wait and allow Krishna to manifest and expand His glories. And in due course of time, the influence may be overwhelming and beyond our imagination. All of us were staying with Sto Krishna Prabhu, and we had such interaction with Him. Appeared to be very ordinary, normal, commonplace. But then, as we witnessed His departure, and as things unfolded and manifested towards the ultimate pinnacle, the conclusion of His departure, then we all became very extremely overwhelmed to see the glory of devotee and devotional service. So therefore, many times great things may appear to be small in the beginning, but then it may take very gigantic proportions at certain time. So we should not judge things prematurely. And that is a mistake Hiranyaksha did. He looked at Lord and thought this is just an ordinary boar, called him all kinds of wild names. But then finally, he had to take the reaction for that. So on this day, let us pray to Lord Varahadev that if we have to have the spiritual vision, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadev hrideyeshu vilokayanti. Education, it provides depth in vision. So an ordinary person looks at the body, he has a certain vision. But a doctor, after going through 5 years of medical study, he looks at a body, he can look beyond the ordinary, he can look deep within the body. What has made the difference is that 4 or 5 years of education, it has given him depth in his vision. Anyone can use a computer, but a computer engineer, when he looks at the screen and he looks at the system, he has a depth in his vision. He can see what a common user of computer cannot. So that's why people go through education system. I may invest in shares, but an economist or someone who is trained in commerce can see at the stocks going up and down, and he can predict what is going to happen because he has depth in his vision. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is training us in depth in seeing this world and seeing Krishna deep within every atom, every situation, circumstance, event and personality. That is the depth in vision we are aspiring for by being trained in the Gita and Bhagavatam. So this is education, real spiritual education. And therefore we have all entered into ISKCON with Hiranyaksha consciousness. Hiranyaksha means with vision of gold. We went through our education system just looking for gold, just looking for money. And therefore we have to transform ourselves from being Hiranyaksha conscious to be actually spiritually conscious, have the Aksha, the vision, to see not just gold, but the golden avatar, the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that transformation, that change in consciousness can only come when we pray to Lord Varahadev helplessly and beg him to appear and manifest within our heart and destroy the demonic influence of Hiranyaksha within. So on this auspicious day of Varaha Dwadashi, this is our humble prayer at the lotus feet of Sri Varahadev, and we have the beautiful deity of Varahadev here, which has been created by our Milan Bag, and it has been put on darshan on the altar for the first time. So this is the first inaugural darshan of Sri Varahadev, and with this prayer I will end my class. Shri Varahadev ki. So for those who are fasting for Ekadashi, there is Mahaprasad grain to break the fast. Mahaprasad sweet rice for all the devotees on occasion of Varaha Dwadashi. Shri Prabhupada ki. Tai Gaur Premanandi.